It's your daily dose of Donna on a Friday. Happy Friday, friends. It's Friday, April 12th. You know how I feel on a Friday. You know how happy I am to see you guys on a Friday, but especially on a Friday like today. Why, you ask? Because we have so many good stories. They're up my alley. The stories were literally tailor-made for Daily Dose of Donna. I can't wait to get into it. We're going to be talking about a divorce that no one, wink, wink, saw coming. We're going to be talking about one of the best shows on TV, hands down. We're going to talk about the fact that Jax tends to like Italian food, if you know what I mean. And finally, Tori Spelling, I'm just going to say it. Tori Spelling really is a mess. She's a mess, and I can't get enough of it. All on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Oh my gosh, I just realized as I started going live, I was like, something looks weird when I look at myself in the mirror, in the camera. I'm like, something looks odd, something looks strange. I forgot my eyeliner. Now, this is nothing for some of you guys, but for me, I think I look dead. Am I here? Is this real life? Are we all here? You guys, look what I brought back to the mix today. Do you miss her? Do you miss Sobbin' Robin Brows? I miss her. If you're not watching the video, I am carrying my Daily Dose merch. These are Sobbin' Robin Brows with the Sharpie eyebrows in the form of a mug. I'm drinking my coffee, my reheated coffee that I add protein powder to. Absolutely. This makes me happy on a cloudy day here in Los Angeles. You know what really irks me lately? We'll have these like gorgeous weeks here in Los Angeles. It was 75, 80, and sunny. Monday through Thursday. Friday, it's cloudy. Guess what? Saturday, chance of rain. Sunday, rain. I'm sorry. Give us rain on Tuesday, Wednesday. Give me sun on Saturday and Sunday. I need to jump in my pool. I need to be in summer mode. I am very, very affected by the weather. I really, truly believe that, you know, the second the sun goes away, I'm just more down. So I'm going to wake it up for you guys. You're my son. Do you guys notice, as if anyone is out there that has kids, my son, my 8-year-old specifically, is constantly singing "You Are My Sunshine" right now. I said, "Why are you singing 'You Are My Sunshine'? Like, why is this in your head?" And he's like, "Oh, it's like popular on, there's like a meme that's going around, something LeBron James." And he's singing "You Are My Sunshine" all the time. "You are my sunshine." But he's not singing it normal. Like, "You are my sunshine." It's like, "You are my sunshine." Boys, man, oh man, if you've got some sons in your home, like boy sons, you're going to feel me on like what I go through. It is quite the journey. I posted something on my stories this morning. Kat and Nat. Do you know who Kat and Nat are? They're two mom, like I would say they're, well, I mean, they're everything now. They're podcasters, they're authors, they go on tour. They really just started as friends going on their Instagram and Instagram stories and creating like these little mom truth, these little stories from their car. So I've been following them on and off for about like 6, maybe more years. I mean, really through their whole journey, and they have killed the game. And they had a video that popped up on my feed this morning where it was talking about the difference of puberty between girls and boys and how girls like, yeah, you know, you've got a couple things going on. Obviously, we don't need to get like graphic, whatever. And then it's like, okay, you're good. You got your first cycle. You're good. Boys, on the other hand, it's like the smells, the voice, the pimples, either 3 showers or no showers at all. The riz, the you know, speaking in different languages, my riz, my drip. They speak a different language. And, you know, it's quite a journey. I really am like a cool mom. I thought I was a cool mom until I had kids, you know? Like I was the cool mom. And now I'm wondering, I don't think I'm the cool mom anymore because I don't understand what riz and drip are. Well, Riz is charisma. But the best thing was that I told Oliver, the 8-year-old, oh, you guys are going to be happy. OG dosers, Which OG dosers are here? The gardener has arrived. It is Friday. He's late. I specifically started my show late for the gardener. We're going to have some fun today. Riz and Drip. Oh God, you guys, your comments are just too much for me. I don't want to think about all the things that I'm going to have to see. I don't want to know. It's going to happen to me. I've heard stories from Lance. He told me what he was like when he was 12, 13. I'm scared. I am scared. Someone get me out of this. I am I only have sisters. I have three sisters. Woo. Okay. Let's go on with the show. You guys, we have so much to talk about, but I have to get into just a couple of sponsors. First off, this show is sponsored by OneSkin. As you know, I love the OneSkin products. There is nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin, even without eyeliner. That's why I have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. The products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple scientifically validated solutions. For a limited time, you're going to get an exclusive 15% off your OneSkin purchase using the code DAILYDOSE when you check out at oneskin.co. Just make sure to use the code DAILYDOSE to get yourself your hands on all of the products. They have a moisturizer, they have eye creams, they have a variety of different things for basically face, eye, body, and shield. Those are the four things. And you can use them with other products because they don't smell. They don't smell, they don't like mess with other things. They're very good. Like they're good for just like the basic bitches out there. You know what I mean? The basic bitches. Get started today with 15% off using your code DAILYDOSE. That's 15% off oneskin.co using code DAILYDOSE. I can't explain to you how important it is that you guys use my codes if you want to purchase any of these things I talk about, because the companies, like obviously they measure these things and I want them to repeat with me. You know, so if like you're in the market for skincare and you go to OneSkin, don't not use DAILYDOSE, use them. And then another thing, if you're in the market for compression socks, don't forget drmotionsocks.com. They have compression socks, and this whole brand is a wellness brand that only focuses on socks. They exist to support and enhance our customers' everyday lives with comfort and wellness, as evidenced by their constantly expanding lines of compression socks, compression tights, and diabetic socks. And we're going to say this together. The compression tights are one of a kind. Why? Because they have a gusseted crotch, a cotton gusseted crotch to improve motion and keep your crotch area cool and dry. And Daily Dose of Donna supports cool and dry crotches. They also have flat seams to reduce chafing and increase durability, and a full leg support to reduce leg fatigue. So it doesn't matter your age or your gender, whether you're a nurse, mother, teacher, traveler, athlete, someone who stands all day, or someone who sits all day. It's great for everyone. Try out their spring summer collection. Go to drmotionsocks.com. Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, you guys, we're going to get into our first story. Are we shocked or are we not shocked? AI Gary has called it quits with his wife, Teresa Nist. Gary just woke up one day and said, you know, marriage is not for me. Yes, that is right. The Golden Bachelor and his wife. Sounds like I'm saying, it's like the Gilligan song. The millionaire and his wife. Maybe she didn't wear a gusseted crotch tight. No, I don't think this is Teresa's fault, y'all. I think Teresa has lowered the veil. Well, let me first tell you what their story is, and then we're going to go into what we really think it is. Because you know I don't hold back on opinions, right? That's why you guys are here. If I held back on opinions and didn't share with you guys what I really thought, this would be a boring show. Okay. So they got married. Just to kind of remind you, AI Gary and Teresa, we watched that show religiously. We were so invested. And then remember, right before the final, Katie Couric, or right after he chose Teresa, I believe it was right after he chose Teresa, Katie Couric went over to his, did an Instagram live, right, with him and his wife, And this was the moment where everyone was saying, like, what is up? Because this interview had come out that essentially said, Gary says he's been single since his wife died. AI Gary has been lying. There is a glitch in the matrix because AI Gary actually did have a girlfriend. He had multiple girlfriends, but one was a live-in girlfriend. That is weird. Now, Katie Couric, when she asked him on this, because, you know, hard-hitting journalism, remember he was like shifting in a seat. Teresa just was like, deer in headlights look. And it just, he gave a politician answer. He did not say, you know what? You're right. I did have this relationship and I'm, you know, it's not working out or it didn't work out. And I'm sorry I didn't share it or the producers chose not to share it. He was like, well, listen, you know, he sounds like Kermit the Frog to me. Like Gary is Kermit the Frog. I'm not joking. Close your eyes when Gary speaks and tell me if you don't think that Gary is, you know, Kermit the Frog. Like to me, he really is. Now, today on Good Morning America, we knew that some sad news was coming up. That's what we heard. We heard there was sad news that was coming up with Bachelor Nation. I think Reality Steve was the first person that said that. And then we heard this, you know, this kind of trailer that they were going to be on Good Morning America. So I say we watch a little bit of it. Let's see if we can. Hold on. Oh, whoops. I'm sharing the wrong screen. Hold on. Present. Share screen. Let's see if we can hear this. Yeah, we'll be able to hear it.
Since your wedding, and you have some news to share.
We have received so much love and support from so many people who watch The Golden Bachelor. And I don't think we can tell you how many people told us that it gave them so much hope. We want none of that to change for anybody.
Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, and we've looked closely at our situation, our living situation, and so forth. And we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage.
Get a divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
3 months after getting married.
Yes.
Yes.
You could imagine what the reaction's going to be. I'm sure you've already imagined what the reaction's going to be.
Yeah. It was just January when America's first golden couple, Gary Turner and Teresa Nist, professed their love for each other.
I promise to be your calm in a storm, to comfort you when you're sad.
All right, I'm not going to show you the whole clip because it's long, but essentially this is what they're saying. Notice a few things. They said, we are, and by the way, sorry about the background noise. They said, we are dissolving our marriage. I'm sorry, is this a corporation? The only thing I've ever dissolved or heard of being dissolved is filler in your face and like an S corp, right? Dissolving? Do you think, and you guys tell me that know like the rules of marriage, is there something like an annulment? Are they able to get an annulment? Because it's only been 3 months. We have to check like California wedding law. So we did find out that Teresa did have a prenup. And if you guys remember, there was a lot of drama about this because people thought that Teresa is a wealthy woman, right? We don't know how wealthy. We're not really sure, but she's in financial planning or financial advisement, something in the financial sect. And we all felt like really shocked by the final episode of The Golden Bachelor. Because if you guys remember, on their fantasy suite weekends when they were in Costa Rica or wherever they went to their, you know, fancy schmancy place, it was him and Leslie. And then he got together with Teresa. And remember when they were with, when he was with Leslie, which was night one, they had such a beautiful, like really natural get together. They really like loved on each other. They were spending a lot of time together. It felt very like love. And then he even woke up the morning of his date with Teresa and he's like, I don't know. How am I going to get into the mode of dating another woman? I'm feeling so in love right now with Leslie. I just don't know. And then he went horseback riding with her. You guys remember this, right? They went horseback riding, and then they ended up back at her, I think her house or her unit, wherever they were. And they, he said, "So, what do you do for a living?" End game. The second he found out about what she did for a living, was it was over. He chose her. It felt like that to anyone watching. It was very confusing. Yes, he did go out on that adorable first date with Teresa where they went to the, like, the diner, the little soda pop diner. And it was really cute and adorable. But then, like, there, it didn't feel like there was so much connection between them other than Kathy saying, "Zip it. Zip it. Teresa, zip it." I bet Kathy is flying high right now. Now, Kathy and Susan did open their mouths and speak on their podcast. I don't mean like open their mouths. I'm obsessed with them. So I say that in a very positive way. But they did speak on their podcast today, just saying like, we wish them well and we love them both. And we, okay, I'm going to tell you guys one thing. There is absolutely no way that these two decided it's just not going to work because of where we live. I'm going to tell you one thing. This is such a fail for the Bachelor franchise, and especially for this up-and-coming new kind of leg of the Golden Bachelor. Tell me if I'm wrong. Notice that Leslie and Gary and Kathy and Susan, all these people that are still very highly connected in the Bachelor universe, all said the exact same thing, which was like, don't give up. Just because it's not working for us doesn't mean this series can't work. It doesn't mean that this won't work. I'm telling you, they were told by the Bachelor producers or the Bachelor Nation, like, you have to still have the Golden Bachelors back here. Because if you tell us that it's not going to work, people are not going to believe in the sham. The reason why I think the Bachelor as a whole really lasted is because the first ever, well, Bachelorette, I should say, the first ever Bachelorette, Trista, stayed married to Ryan. And had she not stayed married, that, like, in those early, early first seasons, if a few of those didn't stay together, we would think it was all bullshit. So this is really, really bad for the industry or for the universe, like that world, in my opinion, the Bachelor universe. Secondly, if I were the Bachelor, I would have put a contract in place saying, you can get married. You may not get divorced in case, unless there's like cases of, you know, fraud. Well, maybe there was abuse, something like that. You may not get divorced under a year. We need to show that you tried for longer than 3 months. This is giving Teen Mom. This is giving, you know, Selling Sunset, Shotgun Wedding shit. Like, this is odd. And I can't really wrap my head around why they even went through with the wedding. I think if Lindsay and Carl were able to pull it off, like, to end it, why couldn't they? They just had as much, like, you know, public opinion about them. Did Teresa walk down that aisle knowing that AI Gary was not the one, or did she come home and then got, like, you know, back into reality? What we did know is they weren't living together. He was in Indiana and I believe she was in Jersey. They both had kids and grandkids and lives, and they didn't want to, like, uproot, but that's not the reason, because most people will uproot for love, or you talk about that in the fantasy suite alongside, hey, Teresa, what do you do for a living? Right? Something is bad here. And something actually happened. And I don't fall for this idea of, like, we love each other. They're holding hands. We love each other so much. It's just not going to work. I'm sorry. If you love each other so much and you're in your 70s, you don't have that many years left. Why the hell wouldn't you do everything in your power to be together? You guys, people, like, survive wars to be with their loved ones. Like, people do all the unthinkable. This is bullshit. I'm calling BS on GB. And I'm blaming it on Gary. And you know what? We saw this a few weeks ago when Gary got signed with an agent. You guys remember that? I posted about that. I don't know if on Facebook or in on the Facebook group or in my Instagram stories. Gary got signed with, I believe, CAA, which is a big creative arts agency. I think it could have been that or William Morris, one of the big ones here in Los Angeles. The second I saw that, I said, mm-mm. And I don't want Gary to now be like the spokesperson for, you know, Tide. If Gary starts showing up on my TV as like the next Bob Barker, off me. I'm done. I'm done. And Teresa was never my favorite either. I always loved Lisa. And remember, I met Lisa at Dancing with the Stars. And Leslie. And I'm obsessed with her. I find her gorgeous. I find her sweet. I find her loving. I think they would have been such a better couple. But they haven't even started shooting The Golden Bachelorette yet, as far as I know. Like, I haven't heard anything. And I know that they're using the Bachelor House, or the new Bachelor House that they're using, on The Bachelorette. So I imagine right when she's out from that house, they'll probably go into the Golden Bachelor season, Golden Bachelorette season, to shoot in that house. That's not good. They really have to redeem themselves big time. Oh my God, Andrew's right. Gary is going to do Cialis commercials. Cialis, don't do it. He's going to do Cialis, Viagra, like what else? I'm pissed. Do you believe in love after love? Now we have to like remember that we had to sit through that horrible, like ridiculous wedding ceremony in Palm Springs at La Quinta. Remember Jesse, the host, almost like missed his daughter's birth because of it. We had to see Caitlin Bristow like awkward. We had to see that weird engagement with another Bachelor Nation person. Okay.
All right.
I don't want Gary to ever come back to The Bachelor. Like, I hope they don't say, like, let's give him another shot at love. Let's give Kermit another shot to find Miss Piggy. Done. Done. All right, another story. We have to talk about Tori Spelling. Another story. Get it? Get it? Tori Spelling. You guys, this is unreal. What is happening with Tori Spelling? What is happening with Tori Spelling? I got a DM from one of you guys last night saying, look at this. And it was a reel that she posted. I'm going to play it for you guys because this is just the most shocking thing I've ever seen. Tori Spelling is, I mean, I say this out of love because I never want anything to change here. I want her to be this much of a mess forever. I truly want her to, like, if she cleans her act up and she, like, gets her shit together, it won't be interesting anymore, I don't think. I think this is the only thing that she can actually do. But this is quite the, Tori Spelling is not looking good. And when I say not looking good, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about everything in just, like, her brand right now. So you just announced out loud that you're divorcing your husband of 18 years that now apparently was another sham. Like, seriously, they should have done what Teresa and Gary did and divorced 3 months in when she started to realize the red flags. Or just after one kid, maybe two, not 500. Then, so she announces the divorce. Then she calls Dean on the phone, which, by the way, I have a friend who's an insider in that Tori Spelling universe, or used to be very much an insider. And this person said, I would be shocked or surprised if he was even on the phone. I wouldn't be surprised if she basically faked that phone call with him for the podcast. I got a lot of tea about what she's really like. But the first and second episodes are just her talking about like all this crazy shit, right? We don't have to go into the details, but it's like, about the bathroom and about like a pig in bed and about poop on clothes and just like really like potty humor, but not even funny. And she thinks she's being funny. That's the weird thing, is like she'll just throw in these weird sarcastic jokes. I think she thinks she's really, really funny. Oh my gosh, this is a great comment. Tori Spelling is going to marry Gary. I wouldn't be surprised. She loves a wedding, she says. She loves to plan a wedding. And Gary would jump on that so fast. So Tori Spelling has publicly admitted in this third episode of her new podcast, Miss Spelling, that she is a hoarder. We've all known this for years if you've been following Tori and you've been seeing it. But let me just show you the reel that she posted. And this is for her podcast. So this is all in the podcast.
I'm here at my public storage, which we didn't have the money to pay. We have locksmith coming because I can't find the keys. I guess we're going to cut one off and pray. Pray it's the one that has all the stuff we want to get out first. This is wild.
The locksmith left? There's three of us.
What?
He got performance anxiety cutting off a lock? What is happening? This is not... See, this is my life. Like, I cannot... Lorraine, this is not my life.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, so here we are. We plan to do this podcast inside the unit. Someone's here.
Okay. The podcast takes place in the storage unit, outside the storage unit. If you do not want to listen, I don't blame you. Although it's, if you want to feel better about your life, listen to Tori Spelling's podcast. I don't say that about a lot of people, but literally this is the one celebrity, not the one, there's many, that I truly cannot feel more grateful to not have her life. I don't care that she's Aaron Spelling's daughter. I don't care that she has millions of followers. Like, bye. She explains in this podcast, 4 storage units worth of stuff. We've seen so many paparazzi photos of her and Dean crying and talking and fighting, you know, lots of Diet Cokes and Monster drinks and Red Bulls in her hand outside of storage units over the years. The storage unit is their version of like date night. I think that like that's where Tori and Dean used to go to like maybe have sex. I have no idea. I don't know how big these units are. I don't know, you know, whatever. You guys, someone in the audience, please tell me. I think it's public storage is where she does it. Public storage. How much, honestly, are storage units? Because she cannot afford them, she says. Over and over and over. She has 4 of them, and they range from memorabilia that maybe stuff that her dad gave her, things from 90210, actual clothing from the 90s, memorabilia from all the different things she's done through the years, stuff that she's had in her home, etc. She has just stuff. I want to know a variety of what, like a range of what a storage unit is. But I'll tell you this. She can't afford them. And so now, because she cannot afford these 4 storage units, she explains that they've all 4 been kind of put under lock and key by the public storage or by the storage companies, you know, locks. So now you don't have access to your own storage unit. When you do continue to not pay, at some point, they seize the property and they put it up for auction. And now we're in storage wars. You guys remember that storage war show on TLC? Was it TLC or was it A&E or something? The way I love that show, do you guys remember the guy Dave? Yup. That was how he would always, with his auction, he would always, yup, yup. I loved that show. Okay, thank you guys so much. Let's see. Units can be 300 to 500 each month in LA if heated and 20 by 20. 350 to 500 in the Washington, D.C. area. Okay. So she's admitting publicly that like, Let's say $2,000 a month. Let's say $3,000 a month. She is not in a position to pay $3,000 a month, which, by the way, is a lot of money. I'm not saying it's not. She's not in a position to pay $3,000 a month to hold on to all of the shit that she's holding on to. Okay. So I have so many things that I'm thinking. So she continues to go on in this episode. They go through this whole idea of this, like this public storage lock guy comes, this lock person comes in. He ends up leaving because he can't do it. Someone else has to come in. Tori's like, oh my God, this is so my life. My locksmith had performance anxiety. It's so wild. Then she goes into the unit and she immediately gets really, oh, sorry. The reason why she was able to open this unit is because she mentions her friend Amy Sugarman. I have no idea who this person is, but now she's forever associated with Tori, has paid for 1 month of the units for her. But like in May, they're going to be seized again. She says that. She's like, I have these through April. I have to get rid of these things. I don't know what to do with them. Okay. So she is in the unit. And then she starts going through it and she's like, oh my God. No, I'm so upset. These are Dean's ties. These are Dean's things. She opened the wrong unit because that's the one they paid for Dean's stuff. Okay. Not her stuff. She opened the wrong unit. And then she goes down this like incredibly crazy rant about how important this stuff is to her. I worked so hard for this stuff. I created this stuff. I created my character of Donna. You may think my dad created the show, but I created Donna. This is my stuff. I needed it. I need it. And Dean thinks I have, you know, an emotional attachment to physical things, but like, I can't help it. Okay. I'm a collector. And then by the end, she's like, okay, fine, you guys, I'm a hoarder. What is happening? It's too invasive. I can't get enough, but it's too invasive. No one is stopping her. No one is saying, like, get off the train. Like, she is literally Bethany. Remember when Bethany was, like, really off? Now Bethany is a little bit more reeled in. But do you remember about 6 months ago when she just was going crazy on all her socials about everything and anything? And we kept saying, like, who is around her enabling this kind of behavior because she's looking wackadoo? And you kind of can't come back from that. And that's where I feel like she is right now. I don't know if she has any good friends around her. She's always had, like, really close friends around her. In this clip, someone's filming. I don't know who it is. And then Lorraine, she keeps talking about Lorraine, she keeps saying, is my podcast producer. So, of course, the podcast producer is like, yes, messy, messy. It shouldn't be called misspelling. It should be called mess spelling. It's a mess. Can't get enough of it. Cannot get enough of it. Wow. Mark says Jeff Lewis talked about how she didn't cash her checks from appearing on his show. She's a mess. So we've heard this through the years that there's like, you know, on Jeff Lewis, Josh Flagg was on the show and he's really close with Candy Spelling, Tori's mom. And Jeff had said something like, where's Tori? And Josh was like, well, Tori's being Tori. Jeff Lewis pays $500 for an appearance on his show. $500 pays for one of those storage units. You would think she would cash that money. So think about, then she goes on to talk about how she's like, people say, get a job. I have 50 jobs. I work my ass off, she says. But where is this money, you guys? Now, look, she's like, I have 5 kids in Los Angeles. And while I 100% can understand this, like, hello, I have 2 kids in Los Angeles. I get it. Her kids do not go to private school. I know this because they go to school with my friend's kids. Okay. They don't go to private school, meaning she's not paying for school. Maybe she's paying for some extracurricular, some tutoring, some activities, some babysitters, whatever, but she's not paying for school. And school is why they say it's really expensive to have kids in Los Angeles for the most part, because the schools are crazy here. But if you're not paying for school, then it's nothing different than anywhere else around the world, right? I mean, maybe things like restaurants and stuff maybe are a little more expensive, but like prices at Target, prices at the market, like it's bad everywhere. It's not an excuse. I have 5 kids. Well, I mean, okay. So many comments that are coming in saying she needs to start selling her stuff. I agree. She needs to, but I don't think she's able to get rid of this stuff. I think physically, like mentally, emotionally, she is holding on to this stuff. I mean, there's a reason that people become very sentimentally connected to a lot of their things. Like being a hoarder is not necessarily, see, when you think of the word hoarder, and I'm not, you know, I don't work with these people like on a day to day. So I don't really know like the mental diagnosis and everything. Hoarding is a mental disorder. But when I think of the word hoarder, I think of the show Hoarders. And that's like when you see like newspapers and cans and everything all the way to the top of the ceiling. Like, did you guys watch Life and Beth? Remember when she went home with that like really hot guy and he was a hoarder in his house and like she couldn't get through and they like there was literally things everywhere. Her version is not, I don't think like that. I don't think she's holding on to just like random papers and trash. I think her version is literally like just her stuff. It's almost like if she gets rid of her stuff, she doesn't have anything else. So talk about someone that really needs some like work. I mean, she needs some work. It's not easy, right? It's not easy what she's going to go through and what she's going through. I hope this podcast is giving her some money. But then again, like, what is she doing with this money? So if she gets $3,000 from the podcast, right, it's going to the storage units. But like, she never going to buy anything else? And also, someone said something in the comments of the Instagram post that I thought was really interesting. Your hair is like all extensions, like perfectly extensions. We know that's expensive. Full like makeup, you know, plastic surgery, big eyelashes. Glam is expensive. Nails, you know, to the extreme, expensive. It's giving Kim Zolciak. It's giving Kim Zolciak Bierman. Now, if the people behind Hoarders gave her a special on TLC or on wherever, you know, network, and paid her to say like $50,000 or $100,000 to go through her storage units, like, she should do something like that. Actually, if I was a producer, I would do that. Who wouldn't watch that? Watch her go through her units and like get rid of her shit. Anyway, like I said, I feel like it's very invasive what we're watching, but she's putting it out there. And you guys, it's our job. It is our job to continue to watch, right? I'm supporting her family right now. Because I know that when talking about this, even if I'm talking negatively about her, talking about it is giving you guys a reason to go listen and subscribe. So I am supporting her 5 kids and her storage units by talking about it. So I don't feel so bad about it. Okay. So, oh my God, Hoarders 90210. She would do that. And then she would collect merchandise from Hoarders 90210 and be like, I created this job. I created this character. She also said like some really gross things. She was like, she said something like, guys, be careful. She was talking to her production crew or whoever's with her. And she was like, be careful, because I've seen some cockroaches here, because people have food sometimes that they keep in their storage units. I mean, it's probably mine. I probably have food in my storage unit. I can't. She was also then talking about how she's horrible with money. She's like, no one taught me how to save money. The first time I was ever in a bank was in my 40s. She said, you guys, wrap your head around the shit. Have any of you guys been raised rich? Now, I understand none of us are spelling rich. I definitely was not raised rich. But if you have been raised in an upper class home, you don't have to admit it. Are you telling me you never went into a bank? Because I remember going to banks since I was a baby. Like, I was in banks all the time with my mom and my grandfather and stuff. I remember always going. There wasn't like the ATM process. Like, we were constantly with our parents going into the banks, getting cash, going, depositing checks, this, that. You were not in a bank until you were 40? She goes, I saw it in movies. I love a heist movie. She's nuts. Bring it on, Tori. Continue. Can't wait for episode 4. All right. We got to move on. I have to just shout out my final sponsor of the week. That is Robody. If you want access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market, it's possible Tori Spelling has accessed those because she is looking slim these days. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro Body program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. Ro Body program members have support throughout the process. Ro's partner handles all of the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. Make sure to go to ro.co/DANA. That's Donna. Ro.co/Donna. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. Thanks, Ro. Thanks, Ro. All right, you guys. Our next story is, oh my gosh, are we still here? We're all still here. I mean, the group is just growing and I'm loving it because today's a supersizer. We have to talk about pasta. Okay. And no, I'm not talking about rigatoni, ravioli, spaghetti. Jax Taylor is officially the biggest idiot on the planet. Like, I think that we can put Jax Taylor, add AI Gary and Jax Taylor to the same crew now. Like, Jax is a douche canoe. He is such a mess. And we've seen him now continue to act like a hot mess and absolutely someone that can't get his shit together We thought he was changed when Scandoval first broke and he was doing all these interviews and he was showing up on podcasts and he was talking with Britney, doing that like Peacock watching with Jackson Britney series that they were doing. I alongside a lot of you guys said, we miss Jax. Jax is the number one guy in the group. Jax has changed. He's a dad. He's a husband. No. Jax is just as bad as he always has been, if not worse. Remember last week he got caught on camera filming or speaking on a microphone at Jax's Studio City, which is his bar, saying, you know, Vanderpump Rules is scripted. Well, I can guarantee you that the Vanderpump Rules producers, i.e. the Valley producers, dumbass, Alex Baskin, et cetera, were like, what are you doing? What are you saying? You cannot say that. So he had this, like, it was very clearly written and what's it called? Like scripted apology that he did on his show yesterday. He also mentioned on his show yesterday that I know they taped on Tuesday that he and Sheena have a little bit of beef right now, but we don't really understand. Like, I didn't really understand what the beef was at all, but we knew that there was a little beef. And Sheena has now spoken about this. Of course, I'm going to shout out Bywig Hello Drama because they always pick the best clips for us to share. And here we go. This is Sheena talking about someone sending her something about Jax.
A screenshot from a Reddit board yesterday. It was like a detailed fan account who said they saw me at a bar Sunday evening with Brock after Ariana's show, and I looked quite upset. And I was showing Brock something on my phone, speculating I must have been beefing with Ariana. And I'm like, okay. In reality, what I had seen was that Jax made a disgusting comment about me and was saying some untrue things about VPR. But what bothered me the most was Jax. So he was at his self-named bar, Jax's, and seemingly drunk, probably had, you know, a lot of pasta that night to eat. And he said, had the audacity to say that I'm always out partying and leave my child to be raised by my mother.
Jesus.
So first of all, the irony of this coming from the guy sitting at his own bar partying without his child, like that's not lost on me. But secondly, it's just so far from the truth and he should know this. 95% of the time when I'm out, it usually is a work thing. And it's also—
Sheena, you don't have to defend yourself.
But I—
Okay. So I was just in the middle of listening to this episode this morning because Hannah Burner is on. And you know I'm a Giggly Squad fan. I don't love Hannah as much as I love Paige. Paige is everything to me. Paige is literally my girl crush. Now I've decided, like, I will Kyle Richards, Morgan Wade it up for Paige DeSorbo, secondly. But we'll get to Summer House in just a moment. Like, I've maybe moved on from Craig. Like, I think I'd actually choose Paige. Just saying. I'm obsessed with her. So for Sheena to say this is a big allegation, right? Obviously, every single person in the Vanderpump universe understands what pasta means if you're using it to, like, talk about doing, you know, bad. I would assume you guys know, too. I don't really need to, like, share this. I think you guys understand. But to say this out loud is so— Number one, it's low. I don't care what Jax says. You should just kind of understand and know that Jax is an idiot, right? You should just know that he's a total idiot. And I understand that she needs to, you know, she needs to kind of like stand up for herself. Jax is the king of loving to dish it out on people. He projects all his own issues on everyone else. He calls other people liars. Jax is the biggest liar on TV. He calls other people assholes or bad dads or bad husbands, and he's the worst out there. He talks shit about other people's drinking, and he is the biggest partier. He talked so much shit about Tom Sandoval. Remember, he was like going everywhere, just like shouting that out. And he's worse than that, maybe even. Like, it's possible that he's worse, because if you are Jax and you are living in a beautiful home that you pay with your wife and your wife is unhappy with you and decides to get up and have to leave because your ass won't go, and she ends up taking her son, your son too, and goes and moves into an Airbnb that she pays for, and you meanwhile haven't done everything and anything in your power to get her and your son back home, you're the asshole. And if you want a divorce, that's fine, but I'm not hearing him say, like, I don't want to be married to her. He's not saying that, right? So there is a big, big issue here. Jax is the dickwad. Am I allowed to say all these words? He really is. He's a mess. Jax is an absolute hypocrite, projecting, lying ass. I don't find anything about Jax redeeming lately whatsoever. And I used to find some things redeeming. And when the Valley was just promoted and announced, I was still a little bit on board. But how can you be? He has not changed. However, I will tell you this. Do I believe that he does drugs? No question, 100%, 1,000,000%. Okay. Why? Because I don't feel like people act the way he does. It's kind of like, it's like hyped up. It's like aggressive. Wow. It's a lot like how I act on Daily Dose of Donna, but I'm scared of cocaine. I would never touch cocaine. I really wouldn't. I'm not going to lie. Like, I have massive anxiety attacks when I'm high on like marijuana. So I'm not touching that shit. Not touching it. But like my mom told me that, because my mom and I are similar in terms of like our anxiety about marijuana and when we get high, how like scared we are. The best story, and I'll have to share it with you one time, is when my mom ate a chocolate covered blueberry that had like THC in it that her friend who was struggling with like cancer pain, something like that, gave her to calm down. And my mom was high the entire night, like for 12 hours, but she didn't want to call me because she was scared that I was going to judge her, which is the funniest thing I've ever heard. And she said she was crawling through our house. Like, my mom lives in like a beautiful big house up in the Hollywood Hills on Mulholland and Laurel Canyon. She was crawling and she was looking at the paintings and she was scared that they were going to like come in. She said it took her like 4 hours to go from her bedroom to the kitchen. Like, poor thing. The worst experience ever. So she told me one time when she was in her 20s, she did cocaine. She's like, I was on the ceiling. Like, it's not a place for us. So I'm too scared of it. I'm too scared. Oh my gosh, you're so irrelevant. Photon saying, I'm smoking weed right this second. Well, I hope it doesn't take you 4 hours to get to the kitchen, my love. Anyway, Andrew always thinks the feds are after him. You guys, we're such lightweights. Like, we can't handle it. Lance can get so super stoned and be like, I love life. I'm like not okay with it. In fact, if you guys, maybe I'll charge like a $50 Patreon fee, maybe $1,000 each. I'll make like enough money for me to survive a year of living if I get really, really stoned and then just put on like a live feed. You will not be okay. Like, you will probably be traumatized because I'll cry, I'll scream, I'll throw up, I'll shake physically. I'm crying, screaming, throwing up. Okay. Anyway. Oh, so funny. Okay. Where was I? I think I'm stoned. Anyway, for her to put it out there that he is on pasta is pretty hurtful because he does have a child. And I don't think that was nice. However, he did, you know, allegedly he did kind of like fire shots first about her parenting. And that's just stupid. We all know that Sheena spends a lot of time with Summer Moon because, you know, she needs to get her more followers. Just saying. Okay. We need to like all hang out one day. Maybe we'll do that tonight on Patreon. By the way, you guys, I have a Patreon happy hour at 5 p.m. Pacific time. If you are on Patreon and the overdose tier, which is $10 a month, subscribe just for 1 month, even just to check it out. Join us on Zoom tonight. Let's talk about our getting high stories. I'll laugh my butt off. It'll be so fun. Okay, we got to get into Summer House. You guys, Summer House is, and I'm saying it right now, the best show on TV. If you are not watching Summer House, you are missing out so majorly. I can't explain to you. My friend Stephanie, shout out Stephanie, she started binging Vanderpump Rules because of Daily Dose of Donna last year. She watched all 11, like now she's on the 11th season. And then she asked the crew over there on Facebook, what show should I watch next? And someone said Summer House. So she's like, I'm only on season 3. I'm so jealous. I would do anything to just be on season 3 of Summer House and have all of this amazingness ahead of me, because it just gets better and better. And if you haven't watched Summer House, this is your warning right now to immediately start to watch it. Do you need to watch all the seasons? No, but you got, but you should. Like, you just need to know dynamics. I did not watch season one. Someone out there told me you can skip over season one because there's a lot of girls and people on it that are no longer on the show. So I just missed season one, but maybe I should go back and watch season one just to see how like Kyle Cook was. Now, Summer House is incredible. This season, you know, of course, the big storylines are Kyle and Amanda married already now a couple of years and are going through some major, major shit. Doesn't feel good. Lindsay and Carl engaged and about to be married in November, but we know that they call off this engagement. So we're seeing like what led up to that. And then we have a couple other relationships kind of on the side. We have Craig and Paige, my girlfriend. And like, forget Craig. Honestly, Craig, if you listen to this, you had your chance. Paige responds to my DMs. Just saying. Just kidding, you guys, by the way. No, she actually does, though. Paige is awesome. I posted the other day my dream about Craig and Paige, that he proposed to her on Watch What Happens Live, and she said yes. And then Kyle and Amanda showed up. We were all together because I'm besties with them. And Kyle and Amanda thought that they were pissed at Craig because they were like, you're stealing our thunder of like being the married couple. So I posted about it on my stories and Paige responded to me and she goes, ooh, on Watch What Happens Live? I think she's going to get married to him. She's in love with him. She loves him. So anyway, Paige, so then we see Paige and Craig kind of like on the side. And then of course we have Sierra and West. West is new to the season, to the show this season. And he's whoever cast West should get an Emmy. West is the best addition to a new show. I mean, to an old show we've ever seen, I think ever. And then we have Jesse Solomon, who's also adorable, but no one's like West. And West and Sierra are kind of hooking up. Okay. So the show opens at this Italian, beautiful, like catered dinner that Paige is throwing. And the majority of this dinner actually is, the majority of this episode actually is focused on Kyle and Amanda. So Kyle and Amanda, and you guys tell me what you think, but this is my thought. Kyle and Amanda, they've been together 2 years now. I mean, they've been married 2 years, but I think they've been together like 6 or 7. I don't think this is going to work. And I don't think I'm alone here, right? And this is why. The reason why they fight in this specific episode, it's kind of like rinse and repeat always. But the reason why they're fighting in this episode is because Amanda can't stand that Kyle can't grow up. Kyle is like a perpetual 25-year-old. I love him on my TV, but I would go crazy being married to him too. He's not someone that just likes to be social. He's someone that loves to just go out and get freaking hammered, blasted, wasted, okay, to the point where you can't speak. Like, he's like, blah, blah, blah. He's so slurry when he's drunk. And he'll come home late AF, and you see him because of the cameras, the robo cams or whatever. You'll see him just pounding food. And he's like, he's literally me when I was 23 years old. Or like college guys, you know, and it's crazy, crazy behavior if you are a 40-year-old man married to someone like Amanda. Amanda is the kind of girl that wants to go out a little bit, maybe a dinner, have a, you know, a martini two, and then come home and then get in her pajamas and cuddle up with her dogs and watch The Real Housewives. Like, they are different people. And this is the ultimate issue between them. It's not that they don't love each other. I think that Kyle and Amanda both love each other. I think they both really enjoy each other. And I think when Kyle is a homebody, maybe on like Monday through Thursday, and they're just at home working and then hanging out with their dogs and eating food, I think they're in their happiest. But the weekends come and Kyle goes out and he stays out really late. He doesn't have an off button when he goes out. It doesn't work because she'll never be that way. And she'll never like him about that, like him for that way, right? She'll never like him that way. And meanwhile, he looks at her and he's like, you're boring. You don't want to do anything but watch TV and hang out with the dogs. You're an introvert. She's a homebody. She does not want to do anything serious or big or party or whatever. And like, I don't blame her for it because that's who she is. That's who he married. But she thought he was going to change, I think. And unfortunately, she was wrong. He's not changing. So she's in a position right now where she's getting really upset because, like, he went out with Carl for Carl's, it wasn't a bachelor party, but it kind of was, where it was all of Carl's friends coming into town to get suits for the wedding that never happened. Kyle went out with them and stayed out until 4 or 5 a.m. on a Thursday, which is not okay, right? Like, it's kind of crazy. Now, I don't live in New York City. Bars close in Los Angeles at 2 a.m. I think they close at 4 in New York. Am I wrong? But I would be so weirded out if Lance was out until 4 in the morning. Like, I wouldn't even know. I mean, he's also a dad now, but still, even when we were just dating, I would be weirded out by that. I don't get it. I don't get it. And, but at the same time, I look at Amanda and I'm like, you are a little too introverted maybe for me. Like, I'm between Kyle and Amanda. I love to go out. I love to socialize. I love to have fun. And I like to be a homebody. But I'm so glad because I married someone that is so similar to me. Lance and I love to go out on the weekends. We love to socialize, but Monday through Friday, like, we're home. I don't want to be out every night. I would lose my mind. And we also, like, really like health and sleep and, like, TV. So it would be really hard to be married to someone that is completely on the opposite side of the spectrum. It's like being married to someone that practices a different religion or is completely their lifestyle or their hours are different. You cannot, like, it doesn't work. And it won't go away because Amanda will never become like Kyle. So the only option is Kyle to become more like Amanda, and he's going to feel stifled. He's going to get feeling resentful, right? Don't you think? He's going to be upset. Andrew says nothing's open after 2 a.m. but legs. It's bad, you guys. It's bad. And so here she is. All she wants to do is move to the suburbs to be closer to her parents and to have a yard. She keeps saying it's for kids. I don't think it's for kids. It's for her dogs. Let's be honest. She's obsessed with her dogs. No, like, there's no problem with that. But she would choose her dogs over Kyle 100%, 1,000,000%. There's no question here, right? We all agree with that. She's obsessed with her two dogs, and she wants a yard for them. So she's saying we need to move to the suburbs because we agreed that we were going to move to the suburbs to raise our family. Well, Kyle is 40 years old. He still likes to party. He has a business. He wants to be social, and he can't even imagine the idea of moving out to the suburbs because he's like, we're not even on the same page in our communication. And also, Rachel Hollis, and also we have not even like tried to have kids yet. It feels like we're jumping the gun. On the after show, Amanda says, which, by the way, if you're not watching the after show, you're missing out on the best TV. It's 20 minutes. It's on Peacock and Bravo TV. It is so, bravotv.com. It's so good. Amanda says, you know, when I'm in the city and I hang out with my friends and stuff, I am petrified over having kids. I can't even imagine it. But when I go home and I hang out with my friends who have kids or are pregnant, I'll do anything for their life. So I think we need to move to the suburbs, so I want kids. You guys, this is weird. I remember when I was still younger and I was just dating my ex-boyfriend, and we lived here in LA, and we were, like, you know, going through city life, and then we would go home with him up in Northern Illinois, and we would hang out with his friends. Some of them already had kids. They were married. And I remember craving that life too. But that's just more because you crave what you can't have in that moment. I think those people probably came here to the city to visit and were like, oh my God, I wish we were like young and fun and in the city. You don't move to the suburbs to want to have a kid. You want to have a kid to move to the suburbs. Like, do you know what I mean? It's all backwards. Also, by the way, you can get pregnant in the city and then, like, even have a kid, have a little baby, and then down the line realize, because I think Kyle, if he did have a kid, he would want to give this child the best life possible. And that includes a yard, a pool, a this, a that. It's not working, and it's not going to work. Another thing I thought of is that Kyle understands that Loverboy hinges on the success of him being on TV. If Kyle is not on Summer House, Winter House is now on pause. Okay, meaning I don't think it's coming back for a while. If Kyle is not on Summer House, you guys, what's going to happen? There's no platform for Loverboy. Loverboy, like, Summer House is Loverboy's advertising revenue. So if Loverboy is not being advertised, now they're not making a lot of money. Also, he's not making a lot of money from going onto Summer House. They make a good amount of money probably from doing a season of those shows. Both of them together, it funds their life. They get pregnant. That show's over, guys. We're not watching Kyle and Amanda as parents on Summer House. You realize that. So having a child for Kyle, it literally means a completely new life. It's not like we can fit a child into our lives. It is like a new life completely. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. So this whole episode was hinging on basically this issue. But the problem is their communication sucks balls. And Amanda, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it, is really cold with Kyle. She's too cold with him. And she doesn't really open up with him. And she doesn't really speak to him. And she doesn't really share with him what's going on. And she yells at him. And Kyle is immature. And so it doesn't like connect, right? Paige and Kyle had a moment when they went out, which I was thinking about. At one point, they all go out. And half the house stays home and half the house goes out. This is now like the second or third time we've seen this. And it's always the weirdest pairings. And it's always couples separating. Do you notice that? Like Carl and Lindsay never go out together. They always keep Carl at home and send Lindsay out or vice versa. And Kyle and Amanda never go out together. I find this part weird. So I think it is a production thing going on where they're like, okay, this is who's going out tonight because we want to see conversations without your like partners. Because in what world would Carl go out and Lindsay would stay home? I'm sorry, what? And Paige? Paige is going to choose to go out when Sierra and Amanda are home in pajamas? Yeah, right. Never. So I do feel like they're like almost forced to. Paige and Kyle and Danielle and a few other people go out and they're sitting at this bar and Kyle has been drinking, of course. And he's like, I just wish I was in a better place with Amanda. And Paige is like, well, stop being such an effing dick. And he goes, I don't feel like I'm being one. And they start to talk and he says, you know, and I thought he was going to say like he found things that like she was cheating. But he said, you know, she was passed out the other day and I looked at her phone and I opened the photos and I realized there was no pictures of me in her photo roll. And on the after show, Sierra and Paige say like, that's an ick. Okay. If you're a man and you're going through your wife or your girlfriend's photo roll and you realize there's no pictures of you, like that's embarrassing. Don't do that. But it's not about the pictures. He just doesn't think she likes him. He's also not wrong. Mark says, Donna, I want to apologize. I have no pictures of you on my camera roll. Well, everyone pull out your cell phone right now. Okay. Cause I'm going to smile. I want to be on your camera roll. And if not, then like it's a breakup. 1, 2, 3. Post it on Instagram stories. Don't forget. She doesn't like him. He's not wrong. He feels it. He really, I mean, do you guys get the feeling that Amanda is like in love with Kyle? Not at all. She doesn't. And then he gets emotional and he starts to cry. And Paige, oh my God, bless Paige. She's like, it hurt your feelings. I know. And she even said, Paige said in the after show, like, for this part, I understand Kyle. Because she's like, I understand not wanting to grow up and move to the suburbs because that's her relationship with Craig, you know? I don't know, y'all. It's bad. I just can't see this lasting. And I really hope they don't have a kid and then figure this out because they need to divorce before they have kids. Because think about how bad it's going to be. He's going to feel stifled. He's going to feel resentful. And he's going to end up being the guy in their basement in the suburbs, like drinking 6 bottles of bourbon, you know, eating Pizza Hut at 4 in the morning and then like sleeping through the alarm in the morning. And then the kids are going to wake up and he's not going to be a good dad because he's going to be hungover and angry. Why do I have to live here? And she's going to say, we have to go to the town farmer's market. And then we have a birthday party and a picnic and this and that. And he's going to lose his goddamn mind. It ain't going to go well. No question. That being said, there is no better show on TV. West was out of town and Sierra was missing him big time, which I thought was so cute. West went and had this great conversation with his great aunt. Drinking margaritas out of travel coffee mugs made me so happy to watch this scene. Like in a park in New York, they just threw down some chairs and they sat there and they chatted about life and his business. And I think he really, really cares about Sierra. It's very cute, but I don't think they're together anymore. And I guess we're going to find out with everyone else. Like we'll find out through the season why they're not. But I really hope West didn't screw her over because he is so lovable right now. West is so cute and so lovable. And he can do the splits. Move over, Kyle Richards. On Bravo, they posted that Wes can do the splits. Love him. Love him. Go and watch the Summer House after show. It's an amazing 20 minutes. Oh, they also talk about Lindsay saying how their love life is a 2.5 and that both of them didn't finish. She's like, we had sex today and both of us didn't finish. Oh my God. She said that Carl is too in his head and can't. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Poor Carl. That's like really embarrassing to have on TV. A man that can't finish is probably embarrassing, right? I don't know. For women that can't finish, I'll just tell you as a woman, I don't think it's that embarrassing. But for a man, I feel like it is. Maybe not. Equal opportunity over here. Equal rights for all. Anyway, I want to hang out with you guys all day, but the show is over an hour already. I love you. I have so much fun doing the show. I just a reminder, you enjoy the show. I enjoy you. So go ahead and listen to go. Okay. So for those of you that are curious about the after shows, because a lot of you guys are saying we didn't know about the after show. If you have Peacock, both Summer House and Vanderpump Rules have after shows. They're 20 minutes long, approximately, after every single episode. They're going to be available and they're so worth it. And I think if you don't have Peacock, I'm pretty sure you can find it on bravotv.com. So fantastic. Amazing. And watch the live chat here on YouTube. Thank you for subscribing. Join me on Patreon tonight. Please don't let me, you know, hang alone like Kyle Cook. Don't let me drink alone. Come and join me and I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great weekend. Shabbat shalom. Bye.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. Wow Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowowbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.